Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Share. Tonight, we're doing a special pre-Rosh Hashanah shir, change from our usual Bavavi shir. We are learning as a Zchus Rali and Hashama from Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham, Hashem Shavali, and the Merev HaTorah. Also, for Besoros Tovos, for a successful procedure for Moshe Ben Lillian, Hashem should guide the doctor's hand, everything should go well. So tonight's shir is called Rosh Hashanah Torah, reading A Tale of Two Stories. I thought the title was pretty creative. Am I really always in the spotlight? So we're in Chodesh Elul. We have 2 weeks left. It's Wednesday. We have mamish 2 weeks left till Rosh Hashanah, to Av Tishrei, to the Yom HaDin. And it's very famously known and oft quoted that Elul stands for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. It's an acronym, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. It's an acronym for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I'm to my beloved is to me, Haro Ebasho Shanim, who is the shepherd amongst the roses. It's a pasuk from Shir Shir. So I want to quote an excerpt from Rav Soloveitchik, something that the Rav quoted in July of 1974 that I think very much relates to our Avoda, the Salo. We're going to get to the Torah reading soon. So he begins and he says in the Gemara, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ikka, found he contradicted himself. That's what the Gemara says. He tried to refute himself. What does it mean that Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ikka, tried to refute himself? There's a Musar Haska, says Rav Soloveitchik, in this approach. If you realize there is some contradiction pertaining to your statement, if you make a mistake, you must refute yourself. Otherwise, it's impossible to know Torah. If one is vain, if one is proud, if one always says, I'm right, it's impossible to know Torah. You have to be able to admit your mistakes. And then he starts to talk about his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker Zatzal. He says, this was the greatness of my grandfather, Reb Chaim. He always admitted when he made mistakes. I have already told you, when Reb Chaim was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, he was very young. There was opposition to his method. There was opposition to his youth. Reb Chaim Brisker introduced a new method of analysis. They used to call him the chemist because his method resembled that of an analytic chemist. So they didn't like him very much. They didn't like Rav Chaim Brisker, and they didn't think his method was appropriate, and they thought he was too young. So the Gedolei Hadar, and Rav Soloveitchik names them, I don't want to go through all the names right now, Rav Yitzchak Slonimer, okay, fine. Rav Yitzchak Achan Inspector, they came to Volozhin to investigate the matter. They're going to come to give Rav Chaim Brisker a fair to see if he could really be the Rosh Yeshiva. They didn't know him. He was a young man. He was in his 20s. They came to listen to his shir. They want to see what it's really about here. This shir would determine if Rav Chaim would be the Rosh Yeshiva or not. They came, and Rav Chaim got up, and he said a shir on Maseches Yevamos. And the onlookers felt the content was geschmack. He doesn't say that, I'm saying it. It was good. They're impressed with Rav Chaim as a teacher. He was a born pedagogue. He was a born speaker. He wasn't a trained orator, but as a teacher, he was one who was par excellence. So he said the shir, and the visiting Gedolei Hador were enchanted. He was about to be fine. They gave him a skama. You could be the Rosh Yeshiva. Towards the end of the shir, Reb Chaim recalled a passage from the Rambam, from Maimonides, which he felt refuted his analysis. It was 5 minutes before the completion of the shir. Had he finished the shir, he would have gone down. There would have been a spontaneous outcry, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king. He interrupted his own shir. And then Reb Soloveitchik says, this is a true story. He says, this is not, I think I'm going to stand up. I just want to make sure that everyone could see and hear. So he says, ladies, yeah, perfect. All right, let's go on, ladies. So he says, this is a Hasidic Shemasa, this is a true story. Because it's not a Hasidic Shemasa, I said it wrong. It's not a Hasidic Shemasa, it's a true story. Rab Chaim declared 5 minutes before he finished his shir, Rabosai, whatever I said is wrong. I made a mistake. The Rambam says just the opposite. He remained the Rosh Yeshiva nevertheless. He did not lose his job. Why? Because this is seeking the truth. I remember, says the Rav, when I was a child, my father trained me in the same way. When there is a mistake, you must readily admit there is a mistake. Do not try and defend your errors. This is what the Gemara tells us about Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ikka. What he said was no good. This is exactly what Rav Chaim did in his Beher. Why am I beginning with this? Because this is Elul. Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi Li. Hashem is to me, I am to Hashem. I made a mistake. Gentlemen, whatever I said, the whole shir, it's wrong. The Rambam says just the opposite. What's Elul? I come to Elul, and I look at my past deeds, and I look at what I did the past year. I did some things good. I think I did a lot more not good. I could think of just today and yesterday than I did good. stand up. I have to say, Ribono Shel Olam. The Torah is just the opposite of what I did. Chatasi. But Meila says, Rav, you know what chatasi means? It doesn't mean I sinned. It means I failed. Chay means failure. And the Rav says, my whole life can be a failure. So what's Elul? You have to stand up before the Beis Din Shamala, the heavenly convocation. You think you're afraid of the Gedolei Hador of Europe? Because they're testing you, you might lose the fair. We quoted Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a few weeks ago. If I was going to a king of flesh and blood, I would be afraid. What's the tafkid of Allah anila dodi v'dodi li ribar sha'olam? What I said was wrong. What I did was wrong. How I acted, how I felt was wrong. The Torah says it's just the opposite. One more quote from a Salvechik Bli Neder. Well, we have to, when we're constructed, to build the Mizbech Adam and Mizbech Avanim. In the Mishkan, there are two different altars. The golden altar for the Ketores, for the incense spices, and the animal altar. It's filled with earth. It's made of stones. And the Pasuk specifically tells us, you can't make them out of smooth stones. If you've ever seen children play with magnetiles or with Lego, everything fits. It clicks together very neatly. But when it comes to the Mizbeach Avanim, the Mizbeach of stones, the Mizbeach Adama, it shouldn't be nice stones. You can't cut them. You can't wave a sword upon them. That's what the mitzvah is, so why not? It'll be much more beautiful if you wave the sword over the stones. In other words, i.e. cut the stones, and then everything fits. It's going to fit beautifully. So Rav Salvechik asks this question. The Mizbeach is a symbol of kapara. The altar is a symbol of atonement for men. Who's the Karban? Who's Akedas Yitzchak? We don't call it Akedas Ram, the altar of the Ram. We call it the sacrifice of Yitzchak. The Mizbeach is a replacement for me. When you pick up the chicken or you pick up the money on Erev Yom Kippur, Zos kapara si, Zos chalifa si. Zah kesef yelech litzdaka. It's me. I'm the chicken. I'm the money. I'm on the Mizbeach. When we say vidui, says Rav Salavechik, there's an aspect. A person cannot rationalize when he says the confession vidui. You can't stand up and you say, Chatasi, I sinned, but you know, Ribono Shel Olam, master of the world, da'agas ha'parnasa. I was worried about making a parnasa. I had sorrows. I had a yetzer hara. I'm weak. Memela, I sin. That's how you're going to stand up before God in Yom Kippur. That's how you're going to tell him. I couldn't keep the Torah because I was worried about Parnassah. So I didn't give my star. I couldn't keep the Torah because I have a Yetzer Hara. That's what you're going to tell God. We can't look for mitigating or extenuating circumstances. This we can't look for. Listen to the next line. Because if a Jew wants to be melamed zchus on himself when he's saying vidui, the vidui is not a vidui. It's a rationalization. It's worthless. If a Jew wants to give himself the benefit of the doubt when he says, Achei Chachatan Ufenecha B'lashon Hara, B'machal V'mishta, B'maso B'mata, B'zil Zohorim M'morim, then your vidui is rationalization. And it's worthless. Vidui is an accusation. And the person has to have great strength to accuse himself. And says the Rav, this is one of the greatest challenges. And therefore, the Mizbeach, the altar, which is a symbol of vidui and kapara, confession and atonement, should be built from natural, primitive stones. Exactly how they were dug out of the ground. Don't smooth them. Don't take a knife and cut them. Don't make them exactly like Lego and magnetos. They shouldn't fit in like a puzzle. Why? Because the Mizbeach is a symbol of who? Myself. And when I come for kapara, when I come for atonement, when I come for vidu, and I'm clapping achay, but at the same time I'm rationing, I'm smoothing myself, I'm cutting myself, I'm showing that I'm nicer and prettier than I am. Don't build the bezvech from smooth stones. Lo tivna esen gazis, leave them natural. The stones weren't so nice. Because what's done to the mizbeach, a person must do to himself. The mizbeach is a mirror of the natural person. The Mizbeach cannot be smooth because when you stand before Hashem, listen to what the Rav Salvechik says, stand there with all your blemishes as you are. If you start to rationalize, if you have to be right, even though you remember that the Rambam says something else, you have to have the courage to say 5 minutes into the shir, 5 minutes to the end of the shir, Rabosa, I was wrong. What's Elul? Ribono Shel Olam, the past 11 and a half months, You know how many things I do in one day that I think after, why did I do it? I shouldn't have done it. How could I have done it? So we come to Allah and we want to change. So the next part of the shiur I think is very, very interesting. I didn't know how many to make. I made 15, so there's enough for people. Please don't take one per person. Please share with the person next to you. So I saw something very interesting. Please share with the person next to you. You're going to make more?
No.
Oh. I thought you could do everything. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Baruch Olam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaro. Ali Shava, like this. Close. Okay? What's very, very interesting is that at the top you have the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Nekuda Aleph, Roman numeral number one. Shir HaShirim, that's the common explanation of what is Elo, Ani, Ledodi, Bedodi, Li. What realm of divine service does that represent? I am to my beloved is to me. What realm of divine service does that represent? Ladies, I even wrote it down for you. Ben Adam Lamakom, that represents service between me and God. And we have explored this a little bit. When I come to God, and I'm going to clap al chait, and I'm going to make a confession, I'm like the Mizbeach, I have to be like with Chaim Briska, which is impossible, but we should at least strive. I was wrong. Wasn't embarrassed to say I was wrong. Maybe he would be kicked out of his position. Maybe they'll laugh at him. Maybe he'll become the laughing stock out of town. The Rambam says something else. I was wrong. Ani ledodi vedodi li, that's Elo, bein Adam lamakom. But Rav Biederman brings down the most interesting nekuda that I just read 2 weeks ago, and that's Roman numeral number two. And Rav Biederman brings down, Elo also stands for Ish l're'ehu metanis la'avyonim. How interesting. That's a pasuk from Esther, Megillas Esther, Perek Tes, pasuk of Beis. I give it to you in the footnote so you could see the full notes. Ish l're'ehu means one man to his friend. It's no longer ani ledodi. Ani ledodi means me and God. Ish l're'ehu means, well, this is a totally different realm of avodas Hashem. I wrote it down for you. Which one is it? I wrote it down on the sheet. Bein Adam l'chaveru, between me and fellow man. Umatanis la'avyonim. Teshuvah tefilat tzedakah, matanis la'avyonim. What this pasuk means, what this phrase means is one man should give to his friend and charity to the poor. So now we have a new realm of avodas Hashem coming into Elo. It's not only about ani ledodi vedodi li, me and God, bein Adam l'makom. But what are we adding in? Me and you. Matanis la'avyonim. Ish l're'eyu. It's beautiful. So I was thinking to myself, is it possible that we can find an acronym for the third realm of divine service? We always talk about Adam Lamakom, me and God, and Nila Dodi Vidodi. We always talk about Ben Adam Lechaveru, says Rabbi Biederman. You see it alluded to in the acronym of Elo Ish, the Re'ehu, Matanis Lavyonim. So I was thinking, is there a phrase, a Mama Chazal, a teaching that indicate it can also be Ben Adam La'atzma? So look at Nekuda Gimel. Roman numeral number three. Perhaps we can propose ani la'atzmi v'imlo. Where am I taking that from? Pirkei Avos, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yodalit. I think I gave it to you on your handout. Yes?
Yes.
Yes? Avos 1:14 it says. And the Mishnah tells us, im ein ani li mili. There's an element where you have to be for yourself. It's true you have to serve God, and it's true you have to serve a man, but don't forget about who? Your own service. And im ein ani li mili. If I am not to myself, then who is to me? However, kishana ani la'atzmi mani. I can't be only to myself, for what am I? V'im lo achshav. You gotta act right now, for if not now, when? I bolded it for you. Ani la'atzmi v'im lo. Meaning, I have to be for myself, because if I am not, then who is going to be for me? Who's gonna do the mitzvot if not for me? It's my mitzvah to fulfill. I can't be melamed tzchus upon myself when I clap al chait. So we actually see that there are three realms alluded to in Elo itself. Ani ledodi vedodi li is the realm between interaction, man and God. Ish l're'ehu matanis la'avyonim is interaction between man and fellow man. And finally, and that is bein Adam l'chaveru, and finally bein Adam la'atzmo. Ani la'atzmi v'imlo. I have to be for myself, because who's going to do the mitzvahs for me? Who's going to do my freshest challah if I don't do a freshest challah? Who's going to light my Shabbos candles if I don't like my Shabbos candles? I'm not talking about medical reasons. Don't start bringing me extenuating circumstances. I have a chiyuv. We must change. We must improve. We must prove ourselves in all three realms. The Torah is a package deal. We just went shopping on Sunday for a sofa for the living room. I think everybody who learns with me knows I moved into a new house. They asked me, the treadmill's downstairs, the wash and dryers are downstairs. So the living room was empty. So you could either buy pieces or you could buy a set. So we bought a sofa. We bought two chairs from another place. We went back to buy the ottoman. You don't have to buy the whole deal. But sometimes you go into the store and you look at the suit and you say to the proprietor, yeah, you say, I like the jacket. I don't want the pants. So it doesn't work like that. It's a set. You have to buy the whole thing. I don't want to buy the whole thing. I only want the jacket. No, you can't do that, ma'am. No one's going to buy the pants without a jacket. That's Torah. Elul includes all three realms of service. As you prepare for Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 weeks away, you can't say, I'm going to do a nidodi vidodi li because I love you, God, but I don't really like a fellow Jew so much. What do you mean? Someone came to Rav Tendler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha of Ner Yisrael. It's actually a Masada Kedushin. The Manal of Ner Yisrael said, I don't like my English teacher. What should I do? So Rav Tendler said, he's a Jew. You have to like him, to the Talmud. So what about Ish L'Re'ehu Matanas L'Avyonim? And finally, what about Ani La'atzmi V'imlo? All three realms. With this as our intro, why did I tell you about the sofa and the suit? There's a purpose. Sometimes you can buy individual pieces and it's not a package deal. When it comes to Torah and Avodas Hashem, you can't separate. When Moshe came down from Har Sinai, I went through a beautiful var. I don't remember. I read in the Mikros Kedos. I learned in Mikros Kedos. I don't remember which Perush, which commentator brings it down, and I can't find it again. But when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, welcome, come in. There's a chair right here. He thought he could only drop the first half. Because the people transgressed, I am Hashem, your God. You shall not have gods of others before me. Don't take God's name in vain. So he wanted to drop only the first half, and he wasn't going to drop the second half. But what happens? Which luchos did he drop? Only one or both? Both. You can't keep one side without the other. Very nice, you have Beit HaMikdash. You forgot Beit HaMikdash. You can't have Beit HaMikdash without Beit HaMikdash. So with this is our introduction to Elul. And Elul is our introduction to Rosh Hashanah. Let us look at the Torah reading, please, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So I put out chumashim with help from you ladies. There are chumashim on the table for sure enough to share. Open up to Perek Chof Aleph of Bereshis, chapter 20. And you all have different chumashim, so I don't think I could say the page. Kriya Liyam Rishon. I happen to be looking at my machzor, but fine. Perek Chof Aleph. Vahashem Pakada Sara. You with me? No, I want to make sure everyone's on the page. We're not going through every verse. Perek Chof Aleph of Bereshis, chapter 21. We're not going through every verse with every word of translation. We don't have time. We're going to get an overview of the Torah reading on first day. Then we're going to get an overview of Torah reading on the second day. Perek Chof Aleph, chapter 21 in the book of Bereshis. You all have different chumashim, so I'm not saying a page number. Vahashem pakad es Sarah kasher. Amar, God redeemed, God remembered Sarah like he promised, and Hashem did what he spoke, and she conceived, and she gave birth to Avram, a child in his old age, at the appointed time when Hashem said, and Avram called the name of the son who was born to him, Yitzchak, and Avram, vayama Avram is Yitzchak, beno ben shmonis yamim, he gave him a bris milah at the age of 8 days of circumcision, like God commanded. Okay. Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. Tzchok asali Elohim kol shomei Yitzchak li. God made rejoicing for me. Everyone who hears rejoice for me. Sarah's so happy. Who would believe that Sarah's nursing children in this old age? The child grows up. He is weaned. Avram makes a big party on the day of the weaning. Sarah sees that the son of Hagar, the Mitzris, who was born to Avram, is making a mockery. Send away this maidservant and her son. This maidservant is not going to inherit. My son Yitzchak will. Avram thinks this is a very bad idea over the news of his son. I'm not talking about Rashi. We're looking at the level of Pshat right now. And God said to Avram, it shouldn't be bad in your eyes over the news of the lad and the maidservant. Everything that Sarah tells you, very famous words, listen to her. Through Yitzchak will your progeny be. And also the son of this maidservant will become a great nation. Avram wakes up early in the morning. He takes bread and a flask of water. He gives it to Hagar on her shoulder and the lad sends her away. She gets lost. She starts straying. She's confused in the wilderness of Be'er Sheva. The water finishes. She throws the lad under one of the trees. She goes and sits down a shot bow away. I don't want to see that my child's dying. She leaves him alone.
And she sits down and she cries. God does not listen to those cries. God listens to the cries of the lad. An angel calls out and says, what's going on, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God heard the voice of the boy like he's there. Get up, take the child, hold his hand. After this exchange, God opens her eyes. She sees a spring of water. Her son's not going to die of thirst. She gives him to drink. God's with the lad. He lives in the desert. He's a hunter. Very nice. Did anyone ever think it's a little bizarre that you read the story of Hagar and Ishmael and Rosh Hashanah? It's quite strange. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, I'm reading the details of Hagar and Ishmael. Welcome, Robertson. What's going on here? Why am I reading this? It should stop after the story of Avram having Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak, Sarah, come. No, please come. We won't be comfortable if you're over there. It should stop after the story of Yitzchak. Why do we even read that story at all? Couple of reasons. First of all, Hashem remembered Sarah. She was a barren woman. She had her Yeshua. So what are we all hoping for and davening for and crying for in Rosh Hashanah? We all have our nisyonos, our proverbial barrenness. We're also davening for Yeshua. God promised it will come, so it's going to come. What reminds us of that? Sarah, she was redeemed. Furthermore, the fact that Yitzchak is born ensures the continuity of the Ummah Yisraelis, ensures the continuity of the Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. So without Yitzchak, there would be no children of Israel. So stop the story there. I didn't know about Hagar, who gets lost in the desert. It's very bizarre. Okay, keeping that in mind, Torah reading of the second day. Please turn to Parak Chaf Beis, the very next Parak, chapter 22, ladies. And Bereishis, chapter 22. Okay, ready? Vayhi achar dvarim ha'ela was after these things, and God tested Abraham. I said we can't go through everywhere, we don't have time. Avram, hineini, here I am. Take your son. Oh, we spoke about last week, for those who were here, your inner child, okay, not Nefer now. Your only one, the one you love, take Yitzchak, go to the land of Moriah, bring him up as a korban. We already touched upon man being a korban. One of the mountains that I will tell you, Avram makes up early in the morning. Note, in both stories, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, both when he sends away Hagar, he wakes up early in the morning, and when he goes to slaughter his son, he wakes up early in the morning, he harnesses his donkey, saddles his donkey, he takes his lads with him. Yitzchak, his son, he splits wood for the Ola offering. They get up, they go to the place. On the third day, Avram lifts his eyes. He sees the place from afar. And Avram says to his lads, you stay here with the donkey. Aniva hanar ne'alcha adko. Me and the lad, Yitzchak, will go till there. We will prostrate. We will worship God. We'll come back. Avram takes the wood. He puts it on Yitzchak, his son. And he takes in his hand the fire and the knife. Vayelchu shnehem yachdav. They go together. Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv. Look at the love in this passage. And Yitzchak says to Avram, his father, Avi, hineini bini, my father, I'm here with you, my son. Here's the fire, here is the wood, but what are we sacrificing? This doesn't make sense. And Avram said, God will show us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son, and Vayelchu shneihem yachdav. They come to the place. Avram builds the mizbech. He arranges the wood. He puts Yitzchak on top. He's about to shecht him, and out comes an angel. Keep in mind the story of Hagar. When her son's about to die, who calls out from Shemaim? An angel, okay? And the angel says, Avram, Avram, here I am. Don't slaughter your son. Don't do anything now. I know you are God-fearing, okay? Avram lifts his eyes, and there is, behold, Ine Ayel. There is a ram. It is stuck in the bushes by its horn. Avram sacrifices him instead. Okay, very good. We understand this Torah reading. What's the ultimate sacrifice? Man gives himself to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not confusing. It's not a question. There seems to be no steer as to why I read this on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin. Rosh Hashanah is coronation day, says of salvation. Hamelech. The king sits on the throne. I'm the subject. I have to do it. The king wants. What does the king want? If the king commands you to sacrifice your son, who you don't understand what's going on or that you waited 100 years for, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, says Rashi, Mizdareis the mitzvah. You wake up with Zerizus with alacrity to fulfill the command. I understand why every single one of us is a proverbial Kedas Yitzchak. I have to take myself, build a mizbeach. Remember how we started the shiur? Make my mizbeach. No malam yitzchus upon yourself. Put yourself on the mizbeach. Okay. However, there's another story underlying in the Akedah. A parent and a child undertake a dangerous journey together. They wander. There is a near-death experience. There is divine intervention. The child is saved, and God makes a promise. Which story am I talking about? Akedas Yitzchak or Hagar and Ishmael. I'm going to say it again. There's another story going on here. A parent and child undertake a dangerous journey. Together they wander. There is a near-death experience. There is divine intervention that saves the child's life. And then there are blessings that come after. Which story is that? Both. Okay, because I'm not so smart. I heard this, I heard this Nakuda, and I was absolutely fascinated. I appreciate they asked me to give a shir, because I wanted to know when I could tell this over, because I thought it was the most unbelievable Nakuda. I heard this told over by Menachem Penner. I was listening to Shir Mayu Torah, the Dean of Reeds, and he mentioned this point. I thought it was fascinating. These are the same stories. So what's the difference? These are the same stories. A lone parent and child take a journey to some distant place. They are wandering. There is a near-death experience of the child. The child in both cases is only saved by divine intervention. And then there are promises. Which story? Both. That's unbelievable. I thought that was just unbelievable. What's the difference?
And,
yeah.
Abraham had faith.
Okay.
What did the will of Hashem, and one was told to do it, and one was not told to do it?
Okay, one is commanded and one is not commanded. Abraham Avinu of faith, what were you going to say?
I was going to say one was forced and one was voluntary.
That's an interesting thing to say, that Avraham Avinu was voluntary. I don't think for a person on this level of Avraham Avinu, they would say, well, this Hashem is voluntary.
He didn't question it, he just went and did it.
Okay. Okay.
You also mentioned something about probably the difference between the children. I'm not sure. You had said that
between Hagar and Ishmael,
the child had been the one who was crying, and he listened to Ishmael. I'm not sure.
Ishmael, it doesn't say he was crying. It just says Elohim heard his voice. And in this story, actually, nobody's crying. We know Chazal say the Malachim are actually crying, but nobody's crying. Okay, I'm going to tell you what Rabbi Penner said. And this really has to do with such a strong lesson for our Avodas Hashem. Avraham Avinu knew he was in the spotlight. God commanded him to do something. He knew God is watching, listening, counting his steps, waiting, calculating. They're all part of the plan. All eyes are upon Avraham Avinu. You know, if you see on a stage a spotlight upon one actor, Lahavda Alfa of Dallas, but you understand, a spotlight is on Avraham, and Avraham knows that. Hagar does not know she's in the spotlight. She thinks nobody's watching. No one's interested in her plight. She thinks no one cares. No one listens. She's out of the spectrum of God's range. She becomes despondent. She throws away the child. Avraham Avinu knows that he is on a divine mission. According to the Bar Tanura and Pirkei Avos, the beginning of Pirkei, this is his 10th and hardest test. Hagar doesn't know we're always on a divine mission, even when we don't realize it. And that is a key nekuda for us in our Avodas Hashem. We're always in the spotlight. It's always upon us. You're the lone actor on stage. All 12 months of the year, every minute of the day, everything I say, do, act, think. Hagar doesn't know that. Why do we contrast and compare these two stories? Because it's the story of our Avodas Hashem. Do we know that as we go forward, straying in the midbar desert, becoming lost on the way, that Hashem is really always with us, always watching us, always guiding us, always commanding us? Or do we feel like Hagar, that sometimes we're just alone and lost and have taken a detour and I don't know how to get back? Nobody must be listening to me. And now we're going to relate it to the first part of our shiur. I'm so excited. I was so geschmack when I heard it. It's unbelievable. What kind of story is that to read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Who cares about Hagar and Ishmael? He's a para adam. Yado bakal v'yad kobo. He's a wild ass of a man. His hands and everything, everyone's in him. He's a hunter. He's not a good guy. I'm reading about him on the first day. At least put him on the second day. He gets priority. Yeah, because first you have to read the story of the one who thinks they're not in the spotlight to come to the point where you realize we're always in the spotlight. We have to transition from being the mentality of Hagar to being the mentality of Avraham Avinu. And whether or not you know you're in the spotlight, now we're going to relate this to the first part of our shiur, affects all three realms of Avodas Hashem. Ready? Does everyone have a handout or at least to share? Are there extra that we could pass one down here that two people could like? Is there an extra? Thank you very much. Okay. Avraham Avinu knows that he's being commanded. He knows he's being watched. He knows he's loved. He knows he's on a divine mission. And this awareness affects all three realms of Avodas Hashem. So if you look at your handout, please, it says Bereishis 22:3. Okay? Vayashkim Avram Babokar, who makes up early in the morning, and he gets his donkey ready, and he takes his lads with him, and Yitzchak his son, and he splits wood for the offering, he gets up, and he goes to the place. This realm represents Bein Adam Lamakom. Avram Avinu knows he's in the spotlight, we're going to explain how, and therefore, in his interaction between him and God, so to speak, his service between him and God, I'm in 22:3, service between him and God, Vayashkem, says Rashi, I gave it to you. Nizdarez la mitzvah. What does that mean? He has alacrity for the mitzvah. He's running to do a mitzvah. That's between me and who? Running to do a mitzvah is between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Furthermore, Rashi says, who saddles the donkey? Who ba'atzmo? He did it himself. He didn't command his servants to do it. Sha'ahava mekalkelas hashura. Love. Love for who? God. Ahavas Hashem, I love God so much, I'm burning with such a desire to do Ratzon Hashem, that it twists the path of what's straight. Really, I wouldn't be harnessing the donkey, I'm running to slaughter my son. But because I have so much Ahavas Hashem, Bein Adam Lamakom, I'm getting up early in the morning, I'm harnessing my own donkey. Next, 22:7. Okay? What does this represent? And I'm not going to tell you, but you should see it. Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv. Vayomer Avi, my father. Vayomer, hineni bini, I'm here with you, my son. You're in a nisayon. I'm with you. I'm right here. Here is the fire. Here is the wood. Where is the lamb? 22:8. Vayomer Avram. Avram says, Hashem will show us the lamb. Bini, you're my son. Vayelchu shnehem yachtov. Which realm is this? Bein Adam Lechavero. Bein Adam Lechavero. You are a friend. Remember, Shani, you said a couple of months ago that why is the Mishnah say that one who stops to admire a tree, he is Chayiv Benafsha. What do you mean? He's in the middle of his learning and he says, well, how nice is this tree? He doesn't see the fellow Jew next to him. You notice the tree, but you don't notice your Jew is in pain. What does Avraham Avinu indicate in these verses? Vayelchu Shnehem Yachtov. When another Jew is in a nisayon, and you know you're in the spotlight. Those are key words. It's shining right on you. God is watching you. You're not Hagar. You're not lost. You're not outside of Hashgacha Pratis. So if everything you say is being recorded, Sefer HaChayim v'Sefer HaMavis P'suchim Lefanov, what's going to be recorded when your fellow Jew has a problem? Where are you, Father? I'm right here. Or I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm busy with my own life. Only if you know the spotlight is on you can you respond appropriately. I heard a great quote. I don't know if it was of Yisrael Salanter or somebody else. When you put on your talus, don't whip the guy behind you in the eye. Don't be so busy with your own life that you don't know that someone else is in trouble. Vayelchu shneim yachtov. I'm consumed with my own issues. I can't tell you what's wrong with me right now. I'm right here. And finally, Vayhi Achar Dvar Me'ela Ve'alokim Nisa Es Avram, 22:1, the opening pasuk of Perak Chaf Beis. Vayhi Achar Dvar Me'ela Ve'alokim Nisa Es Avraham. It was after these matters, Elohim tested Abram. We already said that according to the Bartunura, this is the 10th and hardest test. There are opinions that say chapter 23, the death of Sarah, is the 10th test. But some do not agree. Why? That's the way of the world. That when a person is older, they have lived a long life, they pass away. That's natural. This is a test. Vayomer Elav Avram, Vayomer Hineni. Which realm is this? Look what Rashi says. This is the humility of the righteous. Lashon anava, it is humility. Ulashon zimun, and he's ready. Which realm is this? Ben Adam la'atzmo, between man and who? This is between Avraham Avinu and his very own self. His neighbor's not going to know how he reacted. He in himself has to find his strength within to conquer his insight. Isn't that every single one of us at the table? Don't you have to find your strength within your very own self to conquer your own Yetzer Hara? Lashon anava ulashon zimun. I am humble and I am ready. I will conquer my will, same Pirkei Avos, to do your will. Related to this is a fantastic, email that my friend sent me. My esteemed friend Zahava Farbman sent me this like last year, a year and a half ago, and I saved it. The pasuk says, Avram looked up and saw the ram stuck in the branches. Looking at the ram straight on, he looked stuck. Poor ram. Looking at the ram from above, he looked placed. Lucky ram. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. We're either stuck, or we're exactly where we're supposed to be. It all depends on perspective and from where we see things. And sometimes from our perspective, straight on, we seem totally stuck. Poor me. From Hashem's perspective, looking from above, we're exactly where we're supposed to be. Lucky me. Avram knew he was exactly where he was supposed to be. And therefore, all three realms of divine service line up. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, ish v're'ehu u'matanis la'avyonim, ani la'atzmi v'imlo. Interaction between man and God, interaction between man and fellow man, interaction between man and himself. The exact opposite of Hagar. Hagar thought she was stuck. From her perspective, straight on, poor Hagar. Nobody's watching me from above. I'm not in the spotlight. I'm just wandering in some desert alone. And what is the lesson of the Kriya Satorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah? When we forget that Hashem is always watching, directing, running the show. When we forget that the spotlight is always on us, you're always on the stage. We will become lost. We too will become bewildered. We too will be afraid and confused. And that will affect all three realms of divine service. Let's look. What does it say next on your Yadah? 21:14. Kai Parachav Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayashkim Avram Beboker. Yeah. Vayashkim Avram Beboker, 21:14. Vayikach Lecha. Okay, so Avram wakes up early in the morning. He takes bread and a flask of water. He gives it to Hagar, puts it on her shoulder, and the lad, he sends her away. And she goes, and she's just wandering and straying in the desert. Bein Adam L'makom. She has no clarity in her relationship between her and God. She is sent on a mission, but she doesn't know it's a mission. She becomes lost. She becomes bewildered. No awareness that she's actually being led and placed by who? Hashem. 21:15. What Jewish mother reads this and doesn't cry? The water finishes in the flask, and she casts away her child under one of the trees. Which realm is this, obviously? Bein Adam l'chaveiro. Look at the contrast. The two stories, the storylines are the same. The child's in trouble. Hineni bini, vayachu shneim yachdav. I'm right with you. Could be the simplest thing, like your child getting a needle in the doctor's office. I'm right here with you. Could be the silliest nisayon in your eyes. You think it's silly that your neighbor has, that your friend has. She just wants you to hold her hand. She wants you to cry on her shoulder. Could be pretty major also. Are you there? I can't be bothered with your troubles. I'm throwing you under the tree. I have my own problems and my own daladamas. Thank you very much. When you don't know God is watching everything you do, it affects everything you do. When you don't know God is watching everything you do, then it affects everything you do. Am I a hugger? That was on purpose. Am I a hugger or an Avraham Avinu? Think it's an accident that they put this as the first Torah reading? Such an unbelievable ha'ara. Who throws away a fellow human being, never mind that it's her child? I'm not talking about the Mefarshim. I saw that when I was preparing, the Emek Dover says, something nice, humane. She doesn't want her child to see her crying, it would make him feel even worse. I'm talking about the level of the pshat. The level of the simple level of the text is, she throws away the child. The Torah is Shivim Panam Matar, expounded according to the pshat. And finally, Vateidech 21:16. Vateishiv la mineged harchek kemechatavei kashas. She sits a bow's distance away. What does she say? Al ereh. Who's the focus on be'ereh? I. It's really not good for me, note the aleph, to see this child die. Who's the focus on? Myself. Bein Adam la'atzmo. It's not really convenient. It doesn't really feel good. I don't like this situation. Whereas Avraham Avinu was one of Anava and Zimun, and he conquered his will, Ahava Mikalkalis as Ashura. Hagar cannot do it. But she doesn't know the Ribono Shel Olam is with her. She becomes despondent with herself. She loses her inner kohos. Let I not see the death of the child. It's so interesting. I thought it was something that I didn't even think of when I was preparing. Avraham Avinu calls the lad Bini. It's my son. Here he's identified simply as Hayalad. Some anonymous random boy is in trouble. And I can't see. It's about her hopelessness instead of her child's situation. Looking above, the ram is placed. That's exactly where that ram is supposed to be. Lucky ram. Looking head on, the ram is stuck. Poor ram. We're either stuck or we're exactly where we're supposed to be. It's all a matter of perspective. And from our perspective, we might sometimes seem like Hagar. Hey, ladies, we learned in the Sefer, Bilvavi, like last year, that inside every person is every biblical personality. That means there's a hugger inside of each and every one of us. The Sefer says that. It's one of the most unbelievable things we learn in the Sefer. There are many. Inside every person is every biblical personality. That means I have a hugger. And I'm lost. And I'm confused. And the fact that I forget, look at the very last source, Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Histakla b'shlosha dvarim v'yi'ata b'alidei avera. You got to pay attention to three things so you don't come to sin. Sorry, there should be a space between the eye and the mem. No, it's above you. There's an eye that sees, an ear that hears, and all of your actions are written in the book. Rabbi Penner said, we're always in the spotlight. He said, maybe life is not about how we act when we know we're in the spotlight, but how we act when we think we're out of the spotlight. So in my own words, points to ponder. It's not about how we daven when we're in shul. We learned here that a mitzvah kala is things that people will give you credit for. It's not how you daven when you're in shul, but how do you daven when you're in the privacy of your very own home? It's not how I dress when I have a meeting with my child's menahel because there's a sign in front of the door that says you must dress a certain way. But it's how I dress when I'm not in the spotlight. It's not how I eat, drink, talk, and walk in the presence of important people. But how about how I talk, eat, drink, and walk in the presence of simple folk? It's not how polite I am to the people in the street, in the store, on the train, the seatmate next to me in the plane. That's when I know I'm in the spotlight. But how polite and patient I am when I don't know or when I think God's not watching. It's a lot of points to ponder. It's a serious avoda that is upon us. And Hagar teaches us, because she's inside of each one of us, that when we forget that you're on stage, and when we forget there's a bright light, what was that? Me? You didn't hear anything? Okay. That when we forget there's a bright light, it doesn't affect one area. It affects all three. So let's just review above. Elo stands for Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, me and God, Ben Adam Lamakom. Ish L'Re'ehu Umatanis La'Avyonim, our preparation for Rosh Hashanah is to include all three realms. Each man doing for another. V'yelchu Shneim Yachdov Al Ere B'Mosei Yalad. And finally, Ani L'Atzmi. V'yashkim Avram B'Bok in his Dari's the Mitzvah. I got to get up and I have to have alacrity for myself. V'im Lo, because if not. Have any questions?
When you said,
talk louder, please.
When you said it's a perspective, either we're stuck or it depends where you're looking. I don't like that whole thing. Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's what I'm supposed to feel. I'm not supposed to feel stuck. If I feel stuck, that's a problem. In other words, I'm supposed to be working on myself.
That's exactly.
But you said it's probably where Hashem placed you when you're looking from above. I don't think Hashem necessarily placed me in that situation that I find myself in. I think there are times when I have to work on why on earth I'm in this situation.
I'm not sure that we could say that.
In other words, I want to
be clear. This is way beyond the scope this year. But we can't say that I'm not in a situation. I think you just said, I'm not always in a situation where Hashem placed me in.
No, you said I'm stuck. It depends where you look at it. Either where you're looking from above, it's exactly where I'm supposed to be. Or I could feel stuck. But But I don't think Hashem wants me to be stuck. He gives us the opportunity to unstuck ourselves. In other words...
Of course, maybe I didn't do a good enough job explaining. Of course he doesn't want us to be stuck. But sometimes in life, when I look at it from my finite... Ladies, please wait one second. Sometimes in life, when I look from a finite, weak, human perspective, I feel stuck. I'm not saying God's making me stuck.
Oh, okay.
No. We feel stuck.
Okay.
But we also have to be careful. Everywhere we are is exactly where Hashem wants us to be. I'm always placed. Right. Sometimes I don't realize that. Anything else?
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, I'm still going to see you again before Yantif. But nevertheless, we shall be zochah to fulfill the tafkidim of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fulfill it. And we shall have a kasiva v'chasim batova for all. Amen v'amen. Thank you, ladies.